I'll try to fill you in on the beginning of this article so that you'll be able to, because we started it yesterday, we'll try to, you know, bring you up to date on what we've been talking about. Okay then? Everything really ties down to a tosis on Daf Chaf Aleph. And the Pri Chodesh came to a radical conclusion based on his reading of that tosis.
I think that's what you think I was just telling you. Is that what you were telling me?
Yeah, that's what you're talking about.
You're talking about
the case is a chaya, and the Gemara says about a chaya that he doesn't have to worry about feeding his chaya chometz, and the reason for that is because mitznia, which means she hides. You know, if she leaves over any chametz, she's sure to hide it. And Tosis says that in such a case, you don't violate Bayirah by your matzeh, and if you have no problem feeding your chaya chametz. And according to the Pri Chadash, what Tosis has in mind is that there's no violation of Bayirah by your matzeh on chametz she'eina yadua.
So Tosis is holding that. That the bayimara bayimatzei is it on the bias, or it's on the
it's a violation of you are looking at chametz, you own the chametz and you know about it, you see it, and therefore you violate bayimara bayimatzei. If you don't know about it, says the Pri Chodesh in interpreting the Tosis, then you don't violate bayimara bayimatzei.
So then you have
no clue where the chametz is. In other words, if you take chametz and deliberately hide it subterranean, that's called bayatmin, then you violate bayirah matzeh. Because then we say matzeh means you know where to find it. But if you don't know where to find it, because the chaya, you know, without telling you exactly where she put it, she hid it away, no violation of bayirah matzeh. That's the Pri Chodesh in Tosis.
Or if somebody else hides it, you also over.
Pashtus is no different between a chaya and somebody else. You know, as long as we're all playing hide and seek together, you know, if somebody steals your chametz and hides it, then you don't violate bayirah matzeh. That's called chametz she'eina yadua.
Or
Hefza. No, I'm just giving you the facts on the table. You know, we'll get to Gavra and Hefza sometime, or I don't know when, but not today. That's not on the agenda for today. Really, what's on, we have two things on the agenda today, and at the end we want to get to the Sefer, which I'm falling in love with, this Seder Ha'arim. So the Shir today is divided into three parts, you know, but whenever I say that, you always know I never get to the third part. But today I'm hoping actually to get to the third part. So part one is to literally study the various shitas about Bal Yirah Vayimotzeh, especially with regard to Chametz She'eina Yadua. And we start with the Pri Chodesh, which we started with yesterday, and that's the most, in a sense, radical shita. We're going to try to slug up the Pri Chodesh because we're not comfortable with the Pri Chodesh. But the way he reads Tosis, and again, we saw the Tosis inside. You could take a look, open up to the Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. I mean, it seems, you know, the Pashas, that's what Tosis jumps out of the page, and he says to you, I don't know where the Chametz is, there's no Bayirah Vayimotzeh. I Bal Yatmin. So Tosis says, Bal Yatmin, you know where the chametz is. You put away the chametz. You don't know where the chametz is. The Chaya put away the chametz, and you don't violate Bayirah Vayimotzeh. That's what it seems to say in Tosis.
Bal Yatmin is a new love coined by some
rishon. The Gemara itself coins the case of Bal Yatmin, because the Gemara says that if you put the chametz away yourself, then you violate Bal Yimotzeh. And the case itself, the scenario, is described as Bal Yatmin in the Gemara's language. Now, why do you violate Bal Yimotzeh and not Bal Yirah? So that's only in the first Shlav of the Gemara, because at the first section of the Gemara assumes that Bal Yirah and Bal Yimotzeh are two separate Lavin. They don't overlap. And that's before the Gemara has Gzeirah Shava, which equates Bayirah Bayimotzeh and establishes anything included in one is ipso facto included in the other. But in the first Shlav of the Gemara says, Lo Yirah, you wouldn't violate because you hid the chametz very well and you don't see the chametz. But Bayimotzeh, you violate because Yimotzeh, the Torah is being Mechadish, that it's somewhere to be found. But Tosis seems to make the following restriction, that it's somewhere to be found because you know where to find it. But if someone to be found in your possession, but you don't know, you have no clue where it is, you don't violate Bayirah Vayimotzeh. That's the simple reading of Tosis. And the Prichodesh is convinced that he's adamant about it, that's how you have to read the Tosfos. Yeah,
is that because Shochat Yataros Yeraev?
No, it has nothing to do with Shochat Yataros. This has to do with the fact that even though the Chometz is yours, even though the Chometz is your possession, you have no clue where it is. And if you have no clue where it is, that's not called Bayimotze. I, the Gemara, says that if you hide the Chometz, you violate Bayi Motze. That's because you know where it is. But if you don't know where it is, again, please open up the Tosfos. Again, we read it inside. I'm not going to always read again day after day. I just can't do that.
When we were learning about Gazela, you threw a coin, somebody's coin, into the ocean, and we learned that it still exists because you could go down and find it. You know what we learned?
Right, it's still the end, so to speak,
right,
and therefore I can say Arishal Cholofanecha. You get yourself a deep sea diver,
but that doesn't apply to this case here. You could say, you don't know where it is, but it's banned, it's somewhere.
Well, again, so according to the Prichodesh in Tosfos, if you yourself threw it down the river, down the end of the bottom of the sea, then you violate Bali Rabbi Motze. Again, there are other issues. You're saying because you can't find it.
I
see what you're saying. Yeah, then probably, every case has to be taken under advisement, but it would seem that would fit into Tosfos' case of a chaya. You know, you threw it into the ocean. You have no clue where it landed in the ocean. Okay. Now, why is this sheet of very problematic? You know, why do we find a tremendous resistance to this sheet of... And finally, the Pnei Yehoshua, because of that resistance, is going to reinterpret the Tosfos. The reason is because the Torah commands us in Tashbisu, and the premise of Tashbisu would be the following: the whole year round, you bring chametz into your house. That's called a Makom Shemachnisim Bo Chametz. The Torah says, get rid of that chametz. Well, where is that chametz? Do I know where it is? I always give the mashal that my wife did spring clean. So I get down to the bedika and I'm looking for chametz. I don't find chametz. Every single case, every scenario of tashbisu is by definition chametz she'ein yadua. And the Torah says, get rid of that chametz. L'chora, again, the simple pshat would be, get rid of that chametz. Because otherwise you're going to violate two Isurim, because you have chametz in your possession and you own the chametz. Forget about Bittul, because we haven't done Bittul. If we haven't done Bittul, the Torah says Tashbisu. In fact, according to the Ran, at the beginning of Masechta Pesachim, when the Torah says Tashbisu, it gives you two options. Either Bedika leading up to Havara, to Bir chametz, or Bittul. But if you don't take advantage of the alternative, the opportunity of Bittul, then you're left with Bedika and Biur. The whole purpose of Bedika, almost by definition, I mean, that's almost Teichmert. What is Bedika? Bedika means look for the Chometz. It's not Chometz that's sitting on your table that you're looking at and you know about it. And the Torah tells you, go find it, dig it up, and until you find it, you're going to violate Bal Yerov HaYimotzeh. And that's the nature and the essence of the Mitzvah Tashbisu. But it goes even further than that. The Gemara Daf Dalet Amud Beis coins the very famous phrase "Midoraisa bebitul bealma sagi." The word "sagi" here in this concept means to protect you from bal yerov hayimotzeh. The very fact that bebitul bealma sagi implies that without bitul you will violate bal yerov hayimotzeh, and we're talking about chometz she'ein yadua. Therefore, the thrust of almost every raya, and I haven't even touched base on the whole barrage of rayas that we could bring, is that you do violate Bal Yerov HaYimotzeh and Chometz She'ein Yadua. Hence, we have to face the problem of the Tosfos on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Tosfos says that if the Chaya hides the Chometz, then I don't violate Bal Yerov HaYimotzeh. Why not? Why isn't it equal to every situation where the Torah says, be bodek your house, look for the Chometz, seek and you shall find, but right now I don't find it. I don't know about it. What's the issue here of Bal Yerov HaYimotzeh? So here's where the Pnei Yehoshua comes up with his chiddush. And the Pnei Yehoshua says the following. And this you'll see on page 10. Again, I apologize if you don't have the pages. We're trying to do the best we can. In the paragraph on the left column, starting with the word, you know, you'll see a bold print, you know, that gives you the title called Chiluk HaPnei Yoshua. Do you have that? Okay. So the Pnei Yoshua wants to say the following, that there's something called Chametz She'eno Motzu. Let me explain. There are two scenarios in which you have chametz in your reshus and you don't know where it is. One is before bedika, and the other is after bedika. The Pnei Yoshua says the following: before bedika, the Torah says you're going to violate Bal Yerov Bayim Matzah, even though you have no clue if you have chametz, where the chametz is. The Torah says you have chametz in your, again, in certain circumstances that we'll get to later, it could be that you're not guilty, and we can't make a judgment against you. Maybe you're begetter shogeg and not a mazid. But nevertheless, the Torah says you violate the avera of Bal Yerov Bayim Matzah, albeit b'shogeg. That's only before bedika. Says the Pnei Yoshua, once you've done your bedika, now if this chametz sheini yadua, after, again, we're assuming he did a good job in his bedika, not a fly-by-night, you know, kind of bedika, but if he complied with all the rules and regulations of bedika, then any chametz that happens to be in your possession, there's no Bal Yerov Bayim Matzah. And here the Pnei Yoshua coins a new phrase. He calls that Eino Matzah. Meaning, before bedika, chametz is called matzah. And if it's matzah, you violate Lo Yi Matzah. And if Lo Yi Matzah, then Lo Yi Ra as well. But after your bedika, now the chametz is called eino matzuri, and it's not subject. It doesn't. It doesn't lend itself to the violation of lo yimatzuri. When Tosus says on Daf Chaf Aleph that once the chaya hides the chametz, there's no Bal Yerov Bayim Matzah. He's talking after bedika, post bedika, because the whole thrust of that mission at the beginning of the second parak is that after you do your bedika, what do you do with the chametz? What are you allowed to do with chametz so you don't have to do another bedika? So the Gemara goes through different options, one of which is to feed your chaya. And since you feed your chaya, you assume the chaya is going to eat up the chametz. You don't have to worry about that chametz. The chaya may be saving some chametz for a rainy day, and she's going to hide that chametz. Says the Pnei Yoshua, Tosus is insisting that the status of that chametz that the chaya puts away is called Eino Matzui. And if it's Eino Matzui, therefore it's not subject to the violation of Bal Yerov Bayim Matzah. Tosus never in a million years meant to say that before bedika, since you don't know about your chametz, therefore you're exempt and exonerated from Bal Yerov Bayim Matzah. Chalila. The whole thrust of what the Torah is telling you about Bal Yerov Bayim Matzah and the requirement of bedika, which again is doraisa, because we're holding now that at least one method of circumventing Bal Yerov Bayim Matzah and fulfilling your mitzvah of tashbisu is bedika / biur, meaning that before you do this bedika, you certainly violate Bal Yerov Bayim Matzah, and the chametz now is considered matzui because it's a makom shemachnisim bo chametz al gansu yar, you're bringing in chametz there, therefore you're going to violate Bal Yerov Bayim Matzah, and the prechadish is way off the mark, says the Pnei Yoshua. But what Tosus says is, after you did the bedika, and now we've established that the house is a mokum she'ein machnisim bo chametz, but the problem is you want to feed the extra chametz to your chaya, because chametz is still mutar b'hanah until the 11th hour the next day. So fine, you want to feed your chaya. Don't you have to worry about the possibility that the chaya is not going to eat up all the chametz? Maybe the chaya is going to put away some chametz for a rainy day that's called mishayre. So the Gemara answers, mishayre u'matzna'a. After it saves some chametz for a rainy day, it hides it. So the Pnei Yoshua says what that means is that you've done a bedika. Any chametz that's left over is considered lo matzui, and even the chametz that you know about, that's in your hands, it's in the clutch of your fist, and you're feeding it to the chaya, that chametz is also called eino matzui. Why? Because mimanafshach. If the chaya is a very reliable chaya and it eats up the chametz, and that's what you're hoping it'll do, then for sure you don't have chametz. There's nothing to talk about. None of us, you're going to tell me maybe it's Mishaira u'matzna. Says the Pnei Yoshua, that's what Tosus means, is no violation of Bal Yerov Bayim Matzah, because after the matzna, it's eino matzui. Why is it eino matzui? Number one, I cleaned out all my chametz. Number two, if I don't have chametz in my house, I have to worry about the chaya hiding some chametz in the house. That chametz is out of my possession. In all likelihood, the chaya is going to consume the chametz. And even on the outside chance that it won't consume the chametz, where is the chametz? I don't know where it is. So I have a bias baduk. I might have chametz. It's eino yedualo. I don't know where it is, if it exists, where to find it. That's called eino motzi. And that's mufka, that's excluded from bayirah by motzi.
Well, Sam?
Yeah, okay. I'm not, just not getting something. Factually speaking, if a chaya hides something, you're saying it's called matzoi unless I did bedika, and then it's called eino matzoi.
Correct.
Because if matzoi means,
let me use this phrase. I don't know if it'll be, my house reeks from chametz.
Matzoi,
do you mind that phrase?
Matzoi means accessible, yeah. Right?
No. Matzoi means that you're assuming it's there. You might not know exactly where it is, but you could assume it's there. Wait a minute, listen carefully, Sam. In the case of pre-bedika, the Torah is going to say it's chametz is matzoi, meaning it's there. Right now, if you ask me where it is, I don't know. But the whole year round, I brought chametz in, it's there. The house, pardon me for this phrase, you'll find a better phrase that's more appropriate, but the chametz reeks from, the bais reeks from chametz. It's chametz coming out of the rafters. B'chorin u'bisdokin. That's how the Torah views your house. That's matzah. Again, if you ask me exactly where the chametz is, I can't answer you. But I know the chametz is there.
You can find it in 5 minutes.
Correct.
And a half hour.
And therefore, even though I don't know where the chametz is, and I can't even swear in a stack of Bibles that there is chametz, the Torah says, if the reality is there's chametz there, tough luck. You violated Balyarov by your matzah. It's your chametz, it's in your possession, you have to assume it's there, you don't know where it is, you violate Balyarov by your matzah. Just look for it and you'll find it. That's as far as pre-bedika is concerned. The entire system shifts into a different perspective once you're post-bedika. Because the bedika tells me there's no chametz there. Well, maybe there is chametz there. Maybe a chaya took chametz and hid it somewhere. And after all, I fed the chaya chametz, maybe it's mishayrei. That's not matzli. That's already an outside chance. Maybe there's chametz. I have no clue where it is. That's already a different gender. Says the Pnei Yeshua, that's what Tosfos has in mind. But Cholila v'chas, to assume that according to Tosfos, that before Vedika, my chametz is any yadua, and therefore I don't violate by Rabbi Matze. And just to give you a little extra teeth, take a look on page 11, the second paragraph. He says the following. Mevur b'gemara, third line. Shebedikas chametz midrabbana. Why? To midraisa bebitul ba'masagi. The Gemara is telling you that bedikas chametz is drabbana, but really the Gemara is telling you that bedikas chametz is daraisa. Why? Because the Gemara says the only reason why bedikas chametz is drabbana is because bebitul ba'masagi. Had you not done bitul, you would be in trouble on a daraisa level because you didn't do bedika. Where's the chametz? I don't know where the chametz is. Is there chametz? I don't know. My wife did very good spring cleaning.
But it's accessible.
That's called chametz mutz. But to say that a chametz before bedika, that because I don't know where it is, therefore I don't violate by Rabbi Matzeh, it's against a sugya lehedger. The Gemara says that bedika is the rabbanon because with the rice of bitul
ba'masah. Are we saying that there's a chazaka? That once the bedikah has been done, that we're in a chazaka that there is no chazaka.
Yeah, I think what we're saying is that we go from one chazaka to the polar opposite chazaka.
Right.
The first chazaka pre-bedikah is that there's no, is that the place reeks of chametz. And the second chazaka, which replaces the first one through bedikah, is that there is no chametz.
Right.
And if there is, Hashem should forgive me, but I don't know about it. And if I don't know about it, then Tosa says that you're completely exonerated from Bayi Rabbi Motzei. And at this point, if you're going to take a look at the next part of this article, which is built on the Tosas HaRush, which is on the left column on page 11, V'chein Mefurash, do you see such a paragraph?
Yeah.
The Tosa Rush is going to tell you that even after you did your bedika, if there's chametz in the house, you violate Bal Yerah Bal Yimotze.
Why?
And that's called Bal Yerah Bal Yimotze B'shogeg. Are you watching all the possibilities that are opening in front of our eyes? Let's just go through some of the possibilities in the different positions. One position is to say, which the Pri Chodesh insists in Tosfos, is that Chavish Sheni you do it before Bedikah, there's no violation of Ayin Rabbi Matzah. The other position, which I call the middle position, is the Pei Yoshua's position in Tosfos. He says that before Bedikah, there is a violation of Ayin Rabbi Matzah. After Bedikah, there's no violation. Now you have a third shita, which is the shita that Tosfos HaRosh, which he identifies as the Rosh. So if you see any paragraphs that say the Rosh, you know he's referring to the Tosfos HaRosh. And the Rosh's shita is that not only do you violate by your Rosh, by your Matzah, Chomet Sheni, you do it before Bedikah, but guess what? I have bad news for you. You're going to violate by your Rosh, by your Matzah, even after Bedikah, albeit Bishogeg, but you violate by your Rosh, by your Matzah. The Ran is going to disagree. The Ran is going to tell you, look, the Torah said, do Bedikah. You did what the Torah said. Lo nit nitar la malach yasharis. What do you want from my life? You're going to tell me that I'm violating by your Rosh, by your Matzah after I did Bedikah? Because I missed a piece of Chametz. And this whole discussion really boils down to reading one line in the Gemara. How to interpret one line in the Gemara. So if you have a Gemara Pesachim, give me a few minutes, Al. Then please open up to the Gemara on Daf Vav Amid Beis. This is the sugya. You know, I call it the Hey Ayadiyah sugya here. That's so critical for the whole sugya. I mean, again, Rabosai, most of you know the sugya Baal Peh. You know it by heart. But I have to assume when I give the shir that you might not know the sugya. So you'll forgive me for that. Is that okay? Those are the rules of the game. So we're on daf Vav Amid Beis. Okay. Here we are. The Gemara says the following. Amar Rav Yudah Amar Rav, it's approximately 15 lines up from the bottom of the page. Habodeh Tzarech Sheyavata. Yeah, we have it. Vav on the base, 6b, 6b. Okay, about 15 lines up from the top, from the bottom. Om Rabbi Yehuda Marav, Abodek Tzarech Sheyavatel. Now, what this means is, and I'm very much influenced by the Ran's introduction to Masechta Pesachim, that on a Daraisa level, there's no need for Bittul. Why? Bedik is fine. The Torah lies on Bedikah. And the Rabbanan don't rely on Bedikah. The Rabbanan want to cover all possibilities, and therefore they need not only Bedikah, but also what?
Bittul. So why don't you just do Bittul?
Excellent. That's going to be another sugya. Why don't we use Bedikah? Why don't we use Bittul without Bedikah? And that's going to be a major machlok between whom and who? Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi is going to tell you the reason why I need Bittul is because the reason why I need Bedikah is because I'm not going to rely on Bittul. Bittul is very subjective, we don't know, and so forth and so on. Tosfos is going to say the reason why I need Bedikah and I'm not going to rely on Bittul is because Shema Yomol Yom. Okay, so we're going to come back to that again and again and again, but that's so now we want to know, why did the Rabbanan require Bittul if you've already done Bedikah? The Torah recognizes Bedikah. And the Gemara goes through an entire Hishtalshus here, which we'll get back to again and again, but let's get to the punchline for us right now. The Gemara answers that the reason why the Rabbanan want Bittul is because, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, he missed a piece of Chametz. We're all human beings, and he missed a piece of chametz. In the language of the Gemara, I'll read it to you inside, so you shouldn't think I invented it for purposes of the Shia. You know, there's a famous story, they say it's a legend, that they asked Rabbi Issa Zalman Meltzer, what's the hechrich to say that? He says, the Shia is the hechrich. So it says over here that Omar Rav, okay, so you're how many lines up from the bottom? Who can count it for me? 10 lines up? 9 lines up? Omar Rav. Gzera, what are the Rabbanan worried about? Shema Yimtza Gluski Yefefa V'dayte Iluye.
That Aluya means what?
We don't know. Sam, that's a heavy, loaded question, what Vidaita Aluya means. But I'm not trying to push you off.
No,
I'm just trying to push you off. Meaning, I'm trying to delay punishment here. Okay, what is Vidaita Aluya? But let's just focus on the words Shema Yimsa Gluska Yofa. Oh. Now, let's see how we're gonna interpret those words. Okay? Let's go with the Tosas Arash. The Tosas Arash, if you recall, was the most extreme Shita L'Chumrah. And he said that even after Bedika, if you miss the piece of Chametz, you violate Bali Yerah, Bali Yematzeh. If that be the case, then I got the simplest, most straightforward understanding of the Gemara. Shema Yimtza Gluski Yefeifa, what the Rabbanan are worried about is that you missed a piece of Chametz. The Torah says you can rely on a Chazakah. You did what you had to do, and that's Shalom Al Yisrael. But the Rabbanan are worried about the possibility that you may have missed a piece of Chametz. You looked in this room, you looked in that room, you looked in that, but you left that one room, but you left that one closet. And guess what? There's a wonderful piece of pastry there. You violate Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh. So the Rabbanan have to do something. You know, they can't allow the situation to persist. So what they do is they insist on Bittul. No good. It sounds good, but it's not good. Because look at the next few words in the Gemara. The Gemara says, who cares if he missed a piece of Chametz? Nothing tragic has happened. He finds the Chametz. Let him make Bittul. Why do you have to insist that he make Bittul beforehand? After he finished his Bedika, because you're worried maybe he missed a piece of Chametz in his Bedika. In the worst case scenario, he finds a piece of Chametz. Let him make Bittul exactly when he finds the piece of Chametz.
What are we talking about?
And here we're going to get into your discussion, Sam, about Daite Iluye. You know, what will he make a Bittul? Will he not make a Bittul? Will he destroy the Chametz? Will he not destroy the whole Nine Yom? But wait a second.
Before
Pesach. No. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. I'm sorry. I don't know where I lost you. It was probably my fault. You know, my pedagogy skills are not good here today. I'm not talking about before Pesach. The Gemara is worried about the following scenario.
He will have.
He has done his Bedika before Pesach. He missed a piece of Chametz which he found to his dismay on Pesach. And the Gemara says, again, the way the Tosa Rush interprets the Gemara, he violates Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh. That's the way the Rush says it.
He says, you
call it Chametz Sheni Yedua, but it doesn't matter. Even if it's Chametz Sheni Yedua, you violated Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh, my friend.
Even if he didn't find it.
Well, again, you know, if he didn't find it, that's already Kafi Shmaya Galia. You don't think, but, that's up for the Rabbanu Shalom.
No, but then the Chashash should not be you'll find it. The Chashash is maybe it exists.
Okay, well, that's another Kasha. That's another Kasha. But let me ask you a worse Kasha, if you'll just hang in for a second. The Gemara says the following. Why do you have to insist that after his Bedika on the 14th of Nisan, he does Bittul? You're worried about the Chametz. Let him make Bittul when he finds the Chametz.
So the question
does that make any sense according to the Tosa Rush?
On Pesach?
No, it doesn't make any sense.
Because according to Tosa Rush, if you missed a piece of Chametz during your Bedika, you violated by your Rabbi Matze. Bishlema, according to the Pnei Yoshua's chat and Tosas, there's a difference between what? Pre-Bedika and post-Bedika. So it means that if it's post-Bedika, you're not going to violate Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh. So the Gemara now has a claim. Okay, let him make Bittul when he finds it. Why? Because up until this moment in time, it was Chametz. Shaina Yadua. Now it became Chametz Yadua. Again, I'm not going into all the nuances about Matzui, Lo Matzui, Yadua, Lo Yadua. Let's just rough it up a little bit. We'll round it out. Round out the corners. It's Chametz Yadua. You are now looking at a piece of Chametz. Oh, the Pnei Yeshua is going to say, look, as long as it's Chametz Sheni Yadua, the Torah relied on your Bedika. And therefore, there's no Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh. Now you're looking at a piece of Chametz. You own the Chametz. So the Gemara says, very well. Make Bittul.
When?
Good
when?
The moment you find
it. I'm Pesach.
on Pesach. But the Gemara doesn't know that. Wait a minute, Sayer. The Gemara rejects it because you cannot make bittul on Pesach. But the Gemara doesn't know that yet. See, that's the beauty of Gemara. Yeah. The beauty of Gemara is that there's a shaka l'taria. So you can't tell me what you know because you've been through all the sugyas and shas 50 times around. The Gemara, this is the original. You gotta come back to the original source here. In the original source, the Gemara does not know that you can't make bittul. Gemara thinks bittul. Again, we're gonna have to analyze what bittul is and why the Gemara thought that bittul should work even le'achar shas. So all this we have to analyze. But one thing the Gemara does not know, that bittul is a no-no after Shas Yisur. As far as the Gemara is concerned now, bittul is a perfect option even on Pesach, even after Shas Yisur. According to Prey Yeshua, the Gemara's afla v'fela. The Gemara says the following: Kolzman, you didn't know that the chametz, it was what? Chametz Sheni Yidua. And chametz Sheni Yidua after what?
Bidika.
After Bidika. Yeah, the whole transition is Bidika. So the Gemara says you're covered, but up until the point that you find the chametz, never you might find the chametz, and if that be the case, it becomes chametz yedua, and if it's chametz yedua, you're going to violate by your own mindset. So the Gemara says very well, let him make bittul on the spot.
Rabbi,
on the spot.
But even what type of question is that? Because if you're holding that when you find the chametz on Pesach and you're able to bevatel, you're holding it, now you can bevatel. They don't know if you can't be bevatel. But still, there was the moment from the Torah time you saw it to the moment you were mevatel, you were still over at that time. Why would they?
Well, no, the Torah gives you five split, hair breadths of a second to recite bittul. Maybe bittul b'leim is enough.
Yeah, but why didn't they say, well, to avoid that possibility, you should be mevatel right after the
Okay. We'll see. That's more or less what the Gemara is going to hammer out over here. It's Daite Luye, maybe it looks, it's hard for him, to get a serious bittul and so forth and so on. Again, those are all the nitty-gritty details which have to be ironed out. But bigadol, as we say here in this country, the Gemara is now literally supporting the Pnei Yoshua. And again, this comes back to the point that I tried to make at the very beginning of the Shia. The pre-Chadash's approach to Tosis is just, again, I'm going to go very extreme here, is not acceptable. Because it's you're undermining the whole premise over here. The premise of the sugya is that if it's chametz sheni yedua and you haven't done bidika, the Torah clips you with two lavim and forces you with a mitzvah saseh. That's called teshbisu. What happens in Tosis' scenario of Chaya, and you're feeding the Chaya, and she leaves over, and so forth and so on, and Tosis is no value over, but that's a whole different story, says the Pnei Yeshua. The Pri Chodesh is building castles in the sky. There's nothing to build. He has no foundation, no leg to stand on. What's going on over there is after Bittul. I'm sorry, after Bidika. After Bidika is a different story. But up until Bidika is Midraisa. Bittul b'amasagi, which means that you violate the law if you don't do bittul. So if you didn't do bittul, it's chometz and you do. Where's the bal yirah b'yimatzei? And therefore, the whole premise of the pre-chodesh is untenable. And then we go with the Tosa Rosh. The Tosa Rosh goes even a step further, as we said before, that even after the chometz becomes chometz, even after bedika, and you don't know about the chometz, if there's chometz there, my friend, I hate to break the news to you, you violate bal yirah b'yimatzei. And again, one line in the Gemara seems to support the Tosa Rosh explicitly. The Gemara says, Shema yimtze gluska, you'll find chometz, which means that you violated bal yirah b'yimatzei. You did bedika, doesn't matter. You got the gluska there. You got the good gluska, see. You didn't know about it. Doesn't matter. You did bedika, you did what the Torah required of you, but I have bad news for you. You missed a piece of chametz. However, if that be the case, we do not understand the Gemara's next question. V'chimesh kachas le'levatli, let him make bittul as soon as he finds the chametz. That doesn't solve the darn problem over here. Because the problem is that you violated by your Abayim Matzah. Mashenke, if you did the bittul before Pesach, after your bedika, now we understand very well. So what is the Gemara saying? No. Habodik Sorach Yivatel makes no sense because Kimish Kachas Le'ilavat.
Well, maybe is it possible to play Yeshua by the very fact that he is doing a careful search for the chametz, That is exactly equivalent to b'mevatel b'leiv. He doesn't want any chametz. He's making the search to get rid of it, and he's done everything that's possible. He's mevatel. That is a bittul.
So again, you know what, Alan? We're not ready yet for that because we don't know what bittul is. Bittul right now is a little bit of an unknown to us. Is the fact that I am interested in finding the chametz and ultimately destroying it, is that itself bittul? Right now we're assuming it's not. But again, we have to know more about bittul, and maybe it is bittul, but we don't know that yet. Let's assume, for the purpose of this sugya, that the fact that he did bedika is not bittul. And that's exactly what the Tosa Rosh is going to tell you. That if you don't do bittul and you only did bedika, my friend, I have bad news for you. You have chametz that you missed during the bedika, you violate Bali Rabbi Matzah. With all the gusto and all the zealous, you know, feelings and emotions that motivated you to do bedika, and you did the best bedika that you possibly could, and you looked at every little nook and cranny with the R and there and everything else, says the Tosa Rosh, you still violated Bali Rabbi Matzah. How be a pishogim? But it's a violation of the law. What happened to bittul? So right now we're assuming that bedika is not bittul. Why isn't it bittul? Bittul because we don't know what bittul is. And bittul, Rashi, there's a very long, complicated Rashi on Daf Hey as to what bittul is. On Daf Dalet, excuse me. And Rashi goes through, there are five parts to bittul. And we have to figure out each one of those elements of bittul. Now, if you'll take a look at a sugi on Daf Vav. Now, we've been studying the sugi on Daf Vav Amid Beis. Am I correct? Well, if you go back to Daf Vav on the bottom, there's another sugya that's very relevant to us. And if you have page 11, and you want to go back to the beginning paragraph of page 11, you'll see that there's a sugya called Mefaresh V'Yotzei B'Shayora. And the Gemara says that if he checks out, he's a traveler, before Pesach, what are his intentions? Is he coming back for Pesach? Is he not coming back for Pesach? And the Gemara assumes that if he doesn't come back for Pesach, that, again, he may change his plans, but right now his plans are that he's not coming back for Pesach. He's taking a cruise. Again, he applied to be a scholar resident. Unfortunately, there were like 50 other applicants for the same position, so he didn't get the job. So he's not on the cruise, okay? He's not free of charge on the cruise. So how much does a cruise cost for Pesach?
Too much.
$20,000? Right, that's what they say, that if you apply for a scholarship in America, it's a whole new thing, in yeshivas I'm talking about, they want to see if you went on any of these cruises for Pesach. Because you got a chutzpah Torah. You're not willing to pay the malamdim who are teaching your son Torah, but, you know, a cruise for Pesach. Anyway, Ayotzi B'Shayor, he's out there. He's on a cruise. He has no intention to come back. The Gemara says in such a case, he does not violate Bal Yiroh by Yimotzei. And Rashi says that simply because he doesn't have any intention of coming back, he is exonerated from Bal Yiroh by Yimotzei. Makes no sense. After all, we've been hacking over and over and over again against the Pri Chodesh that if you haven't done Bedika, then the Torah says you're in violation of Bal Yiroh by Yimotzei. Do you know where the chametz is? You don't know where the chametz is. Are you there for Pesach? You're not there for Pesach. How do we understand this Gemara on Daf Vav Amud Beis? And that's what he asks here in this paragraph, Achadayin Kosher. The Rashi gabi mefarish v'yotze v'shayora omer de'i yotze l'derech v'lo choze l'beiso l'pesach v'lo bodak. Please, underline those words. Eino over b'bal yiroh. The only issue of b'bal yiroh is going to be if he comes back for Pesach. Now again, one could ostensibly argue that let's take b'al yiroh literally. How would you translate b'al yiroh? Don't see the chametz. Well, he's not going to see the chametz because he's on a cruise. But that can't be. Because the Gemara tells us that there's another lav. Not only Baal Yiroh, but even Baal Yimotz. And Baal Yimotz means that the chametz is seeable. And if that be the case, we have a Gzeres Shavah that equates Baal Yiroh and Baal Yimotz. Anything that's included in Baal Yimotz is ipso facto included in Baal Yiroh. So you're going to tell me, well, he won't see the chametz because he's out there. That's not going to help you. So how could Rashi postulate that a yotze b'shiyar v'ein daito lachzor? He doesn't violate Bal Yiroh Bal Yivotze. The Marshal is so bothered by this question that he insists that it's talking after Bittul. And if it's after Bittul, that's why he doesn't violate Bal Yiroh Bal Yivotze. Others want to say that maybe Rashi holds that he would violate Bal Yivotze, but not Bal Yiroh. I mean, all this is very difficult.
Well, Marshal says it's without Bittul.
Oh, so the Marshal is going to say Mayri Shalo Badak Velo Bitel, correct? And why doesn't he violate it? Because he didn't see it. So we're going to have to again get into this whole discussion that we had. When was it? I don't even remember anymore. Back on page 10, you know, are there two different lavim in the Kes of Mishnah? Why does the Rambam count Bal Yiroh Bal Yivotze as two different lavim in the Taryag? We must assume that according to the Rambam there's a different shiva. If you have time, we'll do that. If we don't have time, let's leave that out. The Marshal's position is very difficult. Oh. So now, Hadra Kushta Leduchte Madua Bokim, according to the Marshal, who's saying that if I don't see the Chametz, like the Pri Chadash, I don't violate Bal Yiroh Bal Yivotze. And again, keep in mind that the Marshal is pushing this into Rashi. That's one thing if you haven't told Santaf Chof Aleph. But Rashi, Rebbeinu Shlom, Rashi says that the whole reason for Bedikah is because of Bal Yiroh Bal Yivotze. And I don't know about the Chametz, and I don't see the Chametz. So what are you telling me, the Marshal, that according to Rashi, if you don't see the Chametz, you don't violate Bal Yiroh Bal Yivotze? What are you going to do with the Rashi at the beginning of the Masechta, who tells you that you need Bedikah because of Bal Yiroh Bal Yivotze? But in any event, comes along the Marshal, and he says he doesn't see the Chametz, he's out on a cruise. No, if that be the case, so why do we need Bedikas Chametz at all? I don't see any Chametz around. You know, I walk around my house, but I don't see any Chametz. Where's Bal Yiroh Bal Yivotze, according to the Marshal's Pshat and Rashi? So the Prima Gadim comes 3.5 centuries after the Marshal to defend the Marshal against an obvious attack. And he says that, you know what? The reason for Bedikas Chametz is because we're afraid that Chametz is going to fall out of some sort of closet on Pesach, and you'll see the Chametz, and you'll violate Bal Yiroh Bal Yivotze. Let's go back to the first Rashi in Pesachim. Oh, you know why we need Bedika, Shol Yavol Bal Yiroh? Because maybe we have to worry that he'll see the Chametz on Pesach. Who can buy such Lakshin Kugel? I shouldn't mention Lakshin because that's Chametz. It's impossible. Rashi is telling you why the Torah requires Bedika. And the Prima Gadim in defending the Marshal says, you know why? Because we're afraid that maybe this Chametz, and maybe the Chametz will fall, and maybe you'll see the Chametz, A, B, C, and we put it all together. And if you talk on a Durabonan level, a Gzera or a Chashash, maybe I can tolerate it. Even that is beyond my comprehension. You know, he has Chametz, he doesn't have Chametz. He'll see the Chametz, he'll see the Chametz. All that. But on a Doraisa level, to say that the Torah requires Bedika because of the possibility that the Chametz is going to somehow appear from nowhere and you'll see the Chametz? There is something called Gazra Torah Gzera L'Dvareha. Have you ever heard that phrase? It's a brisa in Avos de Rabbi Nasa. The only reason I know this brisa in Avos de Rabbi Nasa is because I spent a lot of time on the subject of Yichud, the Isser Yichud. And I wrote a couple articles on the Isser Yichud. One was published in Tchumin, if anyone has ever seen Tchumin. So if you want my personal signature, come to me after the Shia. But anyway, so in the Isser Yichud, some want to say that Yichud is Doraisa, but it's only because he might have a relationship and violate an Isser Erev. Now wait a minute, you can't say A and B at the same time. Because if you're telling me that it's Doraisa, you're not telling me because maybe he'll come. So the answer is, this Braisa, which in the second paragraph of Avos de Rasa, which quotes Yichud, and it goes like this: Minayin shegazra Torah gzera l'dvareha, shenemar Yichud, the Isa Yichud. So there is such an entity. It's not, you know, it's not ridiculous that maybe the Torah itself made gzera. that maybe if you'll the chametz that's somewhere tucked away is going to pop out of nowhere on Pesach, you'll see the chametz and you'll violate Bali Rabbi Motzi. Therefore, the Torah requires get rid of it and do it deep. But all this is Rabosa is very, very difficult.
It's a gzeir on the Yisrael. Or by Rabbi Motzi,
that's another point. Maybe by Rabbi Motzi itself is a gzeir.
Okay,
so he says, that the Marsha on the bottom right has a whole nother pshat in Rashi on Daf Vav about Yotze B'Shayor. And this Rabosa I found absolutely fascinating. There's a sugya called Ha'ose Beso Beis Otsar. A man decides that he is going to take a room in his house and designate it as a storage area. Sound familiar? Like in contemporary life, I mean, like this is my Simchol Yom, right? So the problem is that he might have chametz. Now he's piling up boxes and boxes on top of what might be chametz. And the Gemara wants to know, does he have to do a bedika and get rid of all these boxes, you know, in order to make sure that he has no chametz? So the Gemara says that in the case of Osa Beso Otsar, he does not have to do a bedikah. He's exonerated, which is a great Yashar Koach, because who wants to get rid of all these boxes in order to do a bedikah? So the Marsha says that in order to appreciate that Gemara, why there's no Bali Rabbi Matze, you own the chametz, it's underneath these piles and piles, so you have to know another sugya. And that's called chametz shenaflal of mapolis. So there's debris that buries your chametz. And the Gemara says that if a kelev can't dig up that debris, it's three tefachim down, or whatever the case may be. Harehu kim mevuar. That's the lashon of the Gemara. Kim mevuar. It's already biru. The Marsha wants to suggest the following. That if chametz is inaccessible to you, either because of A, asa beso otsar, B, because of chametz shenaflal alav mapolis, and now the Marsha wants to see because you're on a cruise off the shores of Mexico. So what does that mean? That you have no access. You're not as you know. You're not an Olympic swimmer. You're not. Mark, is he still around, Mark Spitz? Is he Jewish, by the way, Mark? I never thought.
Yes.
He's still alive, I assume.
Yeah.
I don't think he's in the Olympics anymore. But right. So I'm not going to swim, you know, off the coast of Morocco, you know, saying and find my chametz. That's considered chametz shenaflal of my polis. Again, a major breakthrough here, the Marsha. If you accept it, I don't know, but it's revolutionary. That it doesn't have to do with the metzias of the chametz being piled up, on, you know, being submerged or buried underneath, you know, boxes and boxes or under debris. It has to do with my accessibility to the chametz. Now, again, I don't know how far you're going to go with this, Marsha, because, you know, the Marsha is like opening up a Pandora's box. But at least in the case of Yotze B'Shayara, the Marsha says, Harehu Kimavur. Which is again a Gemara about Nafal of Mapolis. And if it's Kibavuar, then by definition, there's no Bayiro Bayomot. So I'm both saying, take a look. Two extreme interpretations of one of the most common issues in Hilchas Chametz. One is the approach that we're afraid that since the possibility exists that you might see the Chametz, therefore you violate Bayiro Bayomot. And the other possibility is to say, no, since you're on a cruise, we're not afraid that you'll see the chametz, and it's harehu kimavua. So again, when we get back to the Gemara on Daf Vav about Yotze B'Shayara, and the Gemara establishes that there's no Bayiro Bayimotze, how do we interpret that Gemara? After all, L'chora, he owns the chametz, says the Marshal that Eino over Bayiro Bayimotze Bikumsha Eino Roehu. And then we have to assume that the whole enterprise of Bedikas Chametz is because maybe he'll see the Chametz. I don't see any Chametz, but maybe Chametz will pop out and I'll see it. The other approach is to say no. The reason he doesn't violate Bali Rabbi Matze, even though, again, the Chametz is there, even if he doesn't see it, is because it's totally out of his radar screen, out of his realm of accessibility, and therefore it's Kimavur. Two different interpretations. Now, again, according to Tosa Rosh, which is the most extreme view, even after Bedika, if you have chametz in your possession, you violate Bal Yeroba Yomatzah. So what does the Gemara mean when it says V'chimishkachas le'levatle? That I don't care if he finds chametz because he'll immediately do bitter. So he says the following. This is a paragraph that starts on the left column of number 11, Vikasha. He says, Gabi glusko meres ha-gemara sha'achrei bedika enisur balyero bayimotze. If he finds chametz, then he'll be mevatel l'chametz. Nu, how does that fit into the Tosus HaRosh? Lefi Tosa Rosh, Madua lo Amra Gemara, meaning why would the Gemara be satisfied to say that we need Bittul, meaning Bittul before Pesach, Kidei shelo yavar b'chol oso zman shelo motza es achomet. So if you're worried about finding chomets that you missed during your bedinka, you're going to violate Bal Yeroba Yomatzah Kod Tosa Rosh from the beginning of Pesach and onwards. Or as Sam said before, maybe God knows that you have chomets somewhere. Oh. Says the Tosus HaRosh, a bit of a gekvetched teretz, as I call it. He says, Yachla Gemara Litaris, the Gemara could have said that the Chashash is that he violates Bal Yeroba Yomatzah from the beginning of Pesach because he has a piece of chametz in his house. Ella, Shehedifa Gemara Lomar, Chashash Sheyavar Bemezit. Watch what goes on here. There are two ways of violating Bal Yeroba Yomatzah. One is called B'shogeg and one is called B'mezid. So again, according to Tosa Rosh, even after my Bedika, I violate Bal Yeroba Yomatzah on the chametz that I didn't find, but that's only Shogeg. What the Gemara wants to say is, Habodek Tzarech Shiyavatel because of a chashash of mezid. That makes the requirement of Bittul to have a lot more teeth to it, if you follow what I mean. Now, what's going to be the scenario in which we make the transition between Bal Yeroba Yomatzah B'Shogeg to Bal Yeroba Yomatzah B'Mezid? That's going to be the moment he finds the chametz. So Gemara says, well, let him do Bittul right now. And he's still in a state of Shogeg. So Gemara says he's going to hesitate, etc., etc., and he won't do the Bittul on Pesach. Or, alternatively, there's no Bittul after Shas Isur. So the Tosa Rush is really sweating it out here. How could the Gemara believe in the Hava Mina that he would solve his problem of Bal Yeroba Yomatzah by making Bittul at the moment that he finds the Chometz? But what about the first 4 days of Pesach when he violated Bal Yeroba Yomatzah? Says the Pre-Chodesh, that's only the Shogeg. And now we're interested in a Mezid. And how would it be Mezid? He finds the Chometz and he hesitates or he can't do Bittul, etc., etc., becomes Chometz Yedua, and he's amazed. Now I want to go back to a paragraph that starts V'chein Mefurash. Do you have that paragraph? Also on the left column of page 11. The Lo Kaharan. Do you see that on line 3 of that short paragraph? By the way, do you have my chicken scratch on the side? Did that come out in the photocopy? No. Okay. Because I wrote myself a whole note here. The Lo Kaharan. Sha'omer lehedja shemidaraisa mahani obediko bittul kedeli hinatzel mi bal yira. So the Ran says the following, and this is explicitly against the Tosa Rosh, that when you find the chametz, now we have a problem called mikano lahava. From this moment in on, you violate bal yira by yomatz. But as far as the first 4 days of Pesach, there's no bal yira by yomatz at all. And if I need the bittul now, at this moment in time, when I find the chametz, because from now on I'm going to violate Bal Yeroba Yomatzah. So Rabosa, I wanted to analyze with you for a moment, what is the machlokas here between the Tosa Rosh and the Ran? Again, just to summarize it, according to Tosa Rosh, I violate Bal Yeroba Yomatzah, albeit the shogeg for the first 4 days of Pesach, even before I find the chametz. After I find the chametz, I'm in a very jeopardous position because I might be amazed. And the Ran says, no, on the first 4 days of Pesach, I relied on my bedika, I fulfilled what the Torah asked me, there's no Bal Yeroba Yomatzah, not even B'shogeg, and the issue of Bal Yeroba Yomatzah only emerges with the finding of the chametz. Now, do you remember, Rabosai, when we first started, I'm talking to those who were with me on the first day, I think John, you were here, Yosef, you were here, we spoke about Misasek. Normally, in a case where I do a maisa b'shogeg, I'm called a shogeg. But if the maisa is not even a maisa, that's not called shogeg at all. That's called misase. So, for example, if I'm cleaning out my shofar and blowing it out, and all of a sudden the tekiya comes up, that's called misase. Doesn't qualify even as a maisa mitzvah. Okay, now if a man falls from a roof and he's boil and erva, so the Gemara says the new din of misasik and arayisha came then, but otherwise that would be a classical case of misasik. A man goes to sleep and he rolls over and he breaks your kelim, that's called misasik. According to Reb Chaim, a man is in the middle of tefillah and he's thinking about the football game, that's misasik. By the way, I heard that there's a big football game coming up, is that so?
Yes.
So what's your
I don't even know the names of the teams. Probably, if you told me, I wouldn't even recognize them. Who's playing now in the big
Super Bowl?
Who's playing?
Patriots and the Rams.
Patriots is that? Wait a minute, the Patriots owned by a Jew? No.
Yes.
Oh wow, we're up there in football. Okay, good. It's probably not one single Jewish football player on the team, is there? Can I appeal to the owner of the Patriots that I'm really a good football player, that I let one Yid play football on the team? I mean, that for sure we'd lose the playoffs, right? So that it's on Shabbos again?
No, it's on Sunday.
So with this coming Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got an invitation from one of my former talmidim to come to his house in Woodmere to watch the playoffs. His name is Ari Hirsch. I wrote, "Dear Ari, I'm a little bit far away, but I'd love it if you could somehow, by Skype or something, show me the game." Anyway, so where was I? I forgot.
Are you misasik in the game?
Are you misasik? Right. So what happens now, Rabosai? This chametz in my house, and I don't know about it. Is that called shogeg or is that called misasik? Here I want to claim that the Ran is right, and the Tosa Rosh is wrong. This case where I have chametz in my possession and I don't know about it, that's called misasik. Why? Because he's not even doing a maisa avera. And that's the difference between shogeg and misasik. Shogeg means I'm involved and I implemented a maisa avera. Okay, albeit I didn't do it deliberately, so and so on, bring a karbon and be mechaper. But in the case of misasik, I didn't do any maisa avera at all. It seems to me that the Tosa Rosh is being mechadish gevaldig chiddush, that owning chametz is not called misasik, despite the absence of any action. And I'm thinking to myself that maybe, according to the Tosa Rosh, Bal Yiro Bal Yimotzei is fundamentally different than any other lav in the Torah.
Any other passive lav?
No, I'm assuming there is no other passive lav right now. Okay, you'll give me another couple examples of a passive lav, but from now, I'm submitting to you, for the purpose of pedagogy, that there's only one violation of a passive lav. That's not true, but I'm just for pedagogic purposes. And that's Bal Yiro Bal Yimotzei. So if the Torah is saying that I violate these lavim passively, simply because I own and I possess chametz, comes along the Tosa Rosh and he takes it one step further. Well, if the Torah says I violate these lavim passively, then what difference does it make if I know for sure where the chametz is, or I don't know where for sure? There's chametz there. If there's chametz there, then I violate the lav. You can't call me a misasik, call me a shogeg. So whereas the Ran understands the lav of Bal Yiro Bal Yimotzei from a universal perspective, namely, that there's no such thing as shogeg, if there's no maisa avera, if you're passive, that's called a misasik. And therefore, it would not make any sense to say that he violated Bal Yiro Bal Yimotzei for the first 4 days before he found the chametz. The Tosa Rosh, on the other hand, again, Lefiani is daiti, I have no proof of this, he held that the normal mechanics and regulations that govern misasik versus shogeg don't apply in these two lavim, because these two lavim are passive lavim. That's what I wanted to suggest. Now if you'll turn to page 12. Okay, what we're going to do now is we're going to try to finish up a little bit here on page 12, and then I'd like to spend some time with you on the Seder HaOrach. Okay. Let's go back, Rabosai, to the Gemara that we started with here on Daf Vav Amid Beis. Amar Rav Yehuda Marava, Bodek Tzarech Sheyevatel, my timer, E Nema Mishum Pirurim, etc. So the Gemara now assumes that in the absence of bittul, you will violate bal yirah, bal yimatzeh for pirurim. You did not find these pirurim during your bedika, and therefore you're going to violate bal yirah, bal yimatzeh on pirurim. There are a host of questions to be asked, but we're going to ask only one question. My time at Elam Mishum Pirurin Bira Rush the Elav de Batle over Alam the Afshaino Roa Osav. You see where we're going to connect this Rush with the Tosus Rush. It's all one Shita, it's one person, one Shita. And what the Rush is presenting is a violation of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh even after Bedikas Chametz, even on Chametz that I don't see. And this is the Rush L'shitasa. Why? Because the Rush holds the most extreme position that we mentioned before, that even after Bedika, because we're talking after Bedika, and even if there's Chametz that you don't know about, you still nevertheless violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. And therefore the Gemara thinks you need Bittul. The Gemara answers that you don't need Bittul for Pirurin, it's Batli Meila, but before the Gemara's answer, clearly you need Bittul because otherwise you violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. So the Bach rejects it. And the Rabach wants to reinterpret the Rush. Why? Because the Gemara is going to ask, my taima v'ha'yavar al bal yirah bayetz al gluska shelo matza elavari liola mahani bedika lefocho mi bal yirah al mashalo yimatza. And therefore he reinterprets the Rush, the ma'ir b'pirurim shevadai nisharu. So it's not chometz any yadua, it's chometz yadua. So what bothers the Bach? And why does he assume that it's impossible to take the Rush literally kipshuto, that he's going to violate on chametz that he doesn't see? Which pashtus means that he doesn't know about the chametz, he doesn't know where the chametz is, and therefore he is in violation of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh, and despite all that, he's in violation of Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. No, says the Bach, that can't be. Because the Gemara is going to ask the question, my taima, why do you need bedika for a gluski afefa? Why not just do bittul? And the answer is because you're going to violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. So this whole sheet that we've been building castles on, that the Tosa Rush says even after bedika you violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh b'chomet sheni yadua, is according to the Bach a figment of our imagination. In Yiddish we would say kenet zayin. You know, they used to ask Reb Chaim, how does he know that Tosas never said such a thing, right? You remember the famous story. Do you, Reb Chaim, claim you know every single Tosas in Shas, that you can say Tosas never said it? The answer is can't sign. Certain things cannot be said. So the Bach says it's impossible to tell me that you violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh for Chometz that's in your house after you did Bedika. No Shita could ever survive the slings and arrows. The Gemara is going to ask now, let him make bittul the moment he finds the chametz. Obviously, since he did bedika, he's exempt, exonerated from Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh. The Rush says that pirurin is a problem. The answer is, according to the Bach, dikim lan shenishru, shenish aru. In other words, you know for sure that there are pirurin that are scattered throughout your house.
Well, the fact that it says gluska means that you're excluding pirurin. Because it's a mishemah,
right? Because in the case of pirurim, the Gemara is going to say you don't need bittul. There is a built-in bittul.
Right.
Oh, now take a look at the tour. The tour in the next paragraph says the following: Achar shebodak tzarech levatel. Why? Al mashalo motza bibdika. Oh, wait, I skipped a few words. Ubazed nitzal. Yechiel, would you mind bringing up, how do you say in computer terms, the tour? Is that a big hassle for you? Because I want to see the exact language of the tour. Sometimes this book, fudges it, if you know what I mean. It doesn't always, so I'm just curious what the language of the tour is. But he quotes here the tour, ubazeh, meaning through bittul. Again, we're talking after bedika. Nitzol mi bal yirah al mashalo matzah bedika. His bittul is going to save him from the chametz that he didn't find during bedika. What does that mean, Rabbi Osai?
That
you are in violation of Bal Yirah for chametz that you didn't find during bedika. It's mamish the sheet of the Tosa Rosh. Which, by the way, makes me happy because the Torah is the son of the Rosh. So he's going with Shitaso. Again, not according to the Bach. The Bach says we can't tolerate such a thing. So the Bach has to reinterpret the Torah. And the Bach says that the Torah is saying something that can't be. It's against the Rosh, it's against the Gemara. The Gemara is assuming that you do not violate by your Matzah post Bidik. Unless you find the Chametz, that's something. V'docha gam es hatur. So I don't know exactly what the Bach is going to say here, but the Bach is going to somehow reinterpret the Tur. Now the Tur quotes his brother, Rabbeinu Yechiel, not to be identified with Rabbeinu Yechiel in Paris, who's one of the Bali Atosus. And Rabbeinu Yechiel is quoted in the Tur saying that you're allowed to burn Chametz that you find on Yontif. And even though, you know, we hold that Havara lechalik yotzis, which means that Havara is one of the 39 malachas, and therefore Havara is asar on yontif, unless it's l'tzorach ha'chol nefesh. So now he's destroying chametz on Pesach. He says that's called l'tzorach hayom. Why? The nimtzo, when he finds the chametz on yontif, aj hashta, until this moment, over b'bal yirah b'shogeg. You are violating two lavim d'orais on this chometz that you found. You better burn it on Pesach. Ein lecha tzorech yontif gadol mizeh. I'm adding that. But Rabosai, it's unbelievable. We're seeing black on white that the Tosis Arush is not the strangest sheet in the world. You know, as much as we try to, you know, object against the Tosa Rosh because he's assuming the other extreme. In other words, we're not going to accept the pre-chadosh that without bedika you're exonerated from by your own mitzvah because it's common shani you do, and that Tosa doesn't exist. That's the plain Yeshua interprets. But on the other hand, to go to the other extreme and say that even after bedika you violate by your own mitzvah and common shani you do, that we thought was an untenable position, and the Bach is on our side. And we don't know how to square that shita with the Gemara that says v'chimish kafes le'levat. But it's not just the Tosa Rosh; it's black and white in the Torah, and it's explicit in Rabbeinu Yechiel. The whole heta to burn chametz on Yontif, according to Rabbeinu Yechiel, when you find chametz even after bedika, is because you're violating by your Avayim Matzah. On the first 4 days, you violated b'shogeg, and now if you don't burn it, you violated the mitzvah. Pretty heavy stuff, Rabos. Any luck, Yechiel?
What is it that you only find? I don't
see it's Siman Tuf Labid Dalid in the Tur. Is it a very long Siman?
No, it's not so long.
Does he say that you need Bittel after Bedika? If you can find those words, Liachar Shebodak Chayav Levatel, or something along that line. Can you dig that up? Because he has a quote here, and I just want to make sure it's an accurate quote.
Nitzel,
that doesn't sound like the Torah.
It says, V'achar v'dika v'yad b'layla yivatlenu. V'yomer kol chamira, the Yizur Rishu, and he quotes the Lashon.
There's no ubazeh, something or other afterwards?
Da'ashda, afili nishu v'vayis chamit shalom matzah, eno over alov, da'havi hefger v'lo dilei.
Oh, read it one more time. This is the punchline. Vahashta.
Vahashta. Afilu im nishar the base of chametz shalom matza ain't over a love. The
with the bittul.
Because he did.
We're talking about bedika. He's done his bedika, and he needs the bittul to save himself from bali roa. Rabbanu shalom. He did his bedika. What do you want from the guy's life? It's, it's mamish unbelievable. Again, the word nitzol is not there. That you're right. I also said that.
It says achar bedika yaseh bittul uvazeh ain't over.
Correct. As a result of the bittul, he saved from the chametz that he didn't find. That the Torah says explicitly.
Okay. So you're saying that.
Why he did his bedika? I mean, what kind of value are you matzah? Okay, Rabbi, well, I'm going to put this on the side now.
Okay.
And I believe that tomorrow's Shia, I think, is tomorrow's Yom Chamishi, right? Yep. So tomorrow, I believe that I want to do the Ramban with you. Again, the Ramban is going to take us at least 2 days, because the Ramban is the question of Bittul. What is Bittul and how does it operate? But for now, what I wanted to do is the Seder Ha'aruch. Is there anybody who needs these pages? I happen to have. This is what I have. Are there any more copies in the back?
I put them here.
Okay.
How do you know that Zed doesn't refer to both? That you can't, that Bittul without Bdika would not work either, and Bdika without Bittul would not work. And he says,
"I was saying, sorry about." So you know what? I'll tell you, Alan. Because I don't have the tour in front of me. Maybe Achil will show you the tour. I just want to, you know, because we don't have that much time, and I'm trying to fit in this sefer called Aseder Ha'aruch. Okay, Rabosai. So let's just take a look for a moment here on page Tuf Chaf. Can you find that 420? And it's called the Kol Ram. It should be, I think, the second, or maybe the third of your page, the second of your pages. Now, he's got a bunch of sources here that require what's called the Kol Ram with regard to the Amiras Haggadah. And these sources, which are annotated in footnote number 11, base themselves on a pasuk at the end of Parsha Sarami Oved Ovid, right, in Parsha Kitov. Now that Parsha is pretty relevant on the night of Pesach, am I right? Because we have to learn that Parsha. And it says in that Parsha, Vayishma Hashem Es Kolenu. And the word kol here means kol ram. In other words, in the vision of it, our ancestors, you know, we're talking about our ancestors back in the time of Mitzrayim. We could talk about our ancestors in a much more contemporary sense. But anyway, our ancestors are crying out to Shammai. And therefore, we should be crying out on the Leil HaPesach through the Haggadah. Now, when I first saw this, I said, give me a break. This makes no sense whatsoever. The Haggadah is not about tefillah and about bakasha and about kol, za'aka. It's just the opposite. The whole thrust of the Haggadah is about thanking Hashem for the great redemption. Well, what's this Vayishma Hashem is Kolenu got to do with? Now, even before I had an answer, which I don't know if I have an answer that'll satisfy myself or any of you, I thought immediately of Kriyas HaMegillah. The Gemara says on Daf Dalid, we seem to be today very heavy on Daf Dalet, but here it's Masechta Megillah. The Gemara says, in the name of Yeshua ben Levi, that we have to read the Megillah not only by day on Purim, but also the night of Purim. The Mishnah only mentions Kriyas Yom, and the Megillah itself only mentions that Hayom Elu Nizkarim, meaning Yomim V'lo Leilos. But Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi insists that we need another Kriyas Megillah at night. And he derives it from a pasuk in Tehillim. And the pasuk in Tehillim says, V'layla v'lo dumyuli, v'yom ekra, u'b'layla v'lo dumyuli. Meaning, if God doesn't respond to my prayers during the day, then I'm going to continue and insistently and insist on praying at night, and hopefully God will accept my prayers at night. So I heard from Rav Soloveitchik many, many years ago, I think it was in a Yahrzeit Shir, he said that there's a kiyum tefillah and bakasha in Megillah. Now that again sounds counterintuitive. Megillah is all about the Nes and the Hatzol of Yeshua. So he said the following. Chazal identified the 22nd chapter, Kapitel of Tehillim, as Esther's tefillah. Keli, Keli, lama zavtoni. She's about to enter in to see Achashverosh and plea for the Jewish people. And Rav Soloveitchik, in a long discussion, very dramatic, he pointed out that the experience of the Jewish people in Paras was so typical of the Jewish situation existentially throughout history, because as much as we think we're secure and it's a pluralistic society and Achashverosh invites all the people, 127 provinces, everybody, Jews alike. He, according to one day in Chazal, he offered kosher food, you know, Badatz Mahadrin at the banquet. So we think, you know, we live in a very pluralistic society, we can be comfortable as Jews. And then Haman gets up and we know what happens. So he used the word, I think, vulnerability, that the Jewish people are vulnerable throughout their history. And even though we say never again, but you know, my one of my I don't want to call him my idols, but somebody that I respected a tremendous amount, who was also killed by an Arab, Meir Kahana, he used to say that never again is not never again, even in America. That was his approach. You know, you and I would like to believe that America is secure for the Jews, but not everybody accepts that. And there's a heck of a lot of anti-Semitism today in America, I don't have to tell. But that's as far as Kriyas HaMegillah is concerned. So Kriyas HaMegillah, according to Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, is derived from a pasuk that explicitly addresses tefillah. Because Kriyas HaMegillah means, let's face it, our situation is precarious, is vulnerable. But in the case of Yetzias Mitzrayim, to say that we have to cry out in prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's very strange. So I thought that this was just a far-flung shita. But what I want to show you, if you turn to page Tav Chaf Gimel, can you find that? It means fast-forwarding about two or three pages, but don't lose the place on Tav Chaf. Take a look at footnote number 34. And here he's quoting Gedolei HaRishonim and Anachronim, Gedolei HaPoskim, who say the following, listen carefully, that Asur LaHafseik BeEmtza Kriyas HaGadah, that we don't speak, you know, about the playoffs. Okay, that's going to be Ofer Zmano then, but what sport will be relevant to Pesach? I don't know. Tennis maybe, I don't know, whatever it is. And you're not allowed to be mafsik in the middle of the Haggadah. And if you take a look in the text itself, it's number Yud Beis here. He says, Lo yafsik be'emtza amiras Haggadah, b'achila u'b'shesia. Okay, we'll talk about Mezikas HaKos, that's a little bit later on. And he asks the question, why? What's so terrible about being mafsik? After all, the Haggadah is a longer spiel, right? It takes a long time. And he says, at the end of number 34, Desipra Haggadah, the Efshar, Desipra Haggadah, Havik, I underline, do you have my underline?
Yes. Yeah.
The Efshar, Desipra Haggadah, Havik Mo Tfila. Now this is already, you know, getting me a little bit nervous.
And the kais is also tefillah, because it says after the kais, you can't be a mafsikid, even before you started saying that.
Yeah, not only Sam after the kais, but even after the mezigas kais. You haven't even drunk the kais yet, imagine.
And that's tefillah already.
Well, I don't know if that's tefillah already. I think what he's saying is that if the entity of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim has an element of tefillah, what commences, what kicks off Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? What would you say?
Kiddush.
Talking.
I would have said Shtiyas HaKos. No? I mean, Kiddush is part of a general mitzvah of Yontif.
Drinking,
you know,
the Sipur?
Yeah, but you
I would have said, yeah, why is drinking Sipur Abosai? What do I need in all four Kosos? Heseba, etc. And what's it all called? Derech? Cherus. There's no question in my mind, if somebody would stand here, Sam, and tell me that drinking the four cups of wine is not Sipur, I would throw them out. I mean, again, I'm sorry for being dramatic, but certain things I can't tolerate. There's no question in my mind that drinking the Kosos is part of Sipur. But Mezigas HaKos? Give it a break. I'm pouring you the Kos? That's part of Sipur.
Why drinking is Sipur?
Because again, the whole point of Sipur is to demonstrate that we left Mitzrayim. Chayav Adam Liros Asatzvaki Luhu Yotz Mitzrayim. He has to do acts of demonstrating Derecheros. Now the Kiddush itself, I don't think, is Derecheros, but the drinking of the Kos has to be Derecheros. In fact, there are poskim who say that if you don't do a Seva during the Shtiyas HaKos, you have to drink it again. Again, I'm not going to go that far, but certainly L'chatchil, no one would deny that the Shtiyas HaKos requires a Seva. Excellent, okay, good. So again, if we'll have a discussion about Kiddush. By the way, did I tell you I finally found the long Kiddush of Sajagon? I told you that?
Okay. Yeah.
I couldn't find it while we were here, but I found it.
Yeah, but where does he have to say, where does he get the idea that a hefsek b'tfila is osur if it's not with a bracha?
Oh.
Well, I think what he's saying is whenever there's a takonis chachamim of tefillah, again, if you want to get up in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam and you have supplications, you know, again, I don't know exactly the halachic status of such a thing. You may need a matir for that, but I wouldn't say there's an iser hefsek. You know, if you're involved in a dialogue with God, like children, you know, they have a very close relationship with the Almighty, you know. But so you want to be mafsik? I don't think that's a I don't know.
Say without a bracha, there's nothing to tie one side to the other that there's a hefset.
Right. So the question is whether this iser should apply after kiddush or before kiddush. He's saying it applies even before kiddush. You know, kiddush is the opening bracha that culminates with Gal Yisrael. Right. Correct. So that itself is one entity that opens with a bracha and closes with a bracha.
Right.
And that could have a chal shem tefillah. Again, I don't know where tefillah comes in here. He says, Vayishma Hashem es kolenu. That's the only thing I heard about tefillah over here. But whatever it is, we'll rack our brains and try to figure out why is it kiyum tefillah. But we're seeing Rishonim and Poskim who say that also a hafsik, and maybe, just maybe, it's because it has a din of hafsik in tefillah.
Right.
But mezigas hakos, that's going too far.
So what would you share?
So wait, just give me a minute, if you don't mind. I'm very eager to share something with you. The Rambam says, Rambam has a whole discussion in Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah. Maybe somebody could open it for me. I think it's Perek Ches about Mezigas HaKos. Now keep in mind, Rabbi, say Mezigas HaKos back in the time of Chazal is not our Mezigas HaKos. You remember what they did in that time? What did they have?
They had
concentrated wine.
Right.
And it's a whole sugya, how much water you have to put in order to make it diluted, and how much, you know, not to add too much water. All right. Thank you. I was hoping for the Frankel Rama, but I'll take the old fashioned Rama.
I have the Frankel here, but I don't know which synonym.
Yeah. Okay, I'll try to find that for you. Yeah. Let me see. Oh, you know which halacha it is, Mitch?
I saw Moses.
Yeah. Great. Seder asiyas mitzvahs elu b'leil shmon achameshesar kachu. Now again, the word seder here, which opens up Perek Ches Milchus Chametz U'Matzah, is a crucial word because it might mean that if you undermine the seder, and I quote to you the Rambam in Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim. All right, so give this back to Mitch. Then what you'll find is that the Rambam holds that Seder in Avodas Yom HaKippurim, the same word Seder, is Likuva. And if he brings the power before the Sohir, etc., he has to do it again. Well, I'm not sure here if we want to go that far. He has a different gear, he has Sidur. Okay, I think it's the same idea. But where does he start the Seder? You hear my question? If the word Seder here is a deliberate word. You know, the Rambam is not just telling you, you know, Kadesh, Urkach, I'll give you all the Sima. No, the Rambam is telling you, Alpidin, what kicks off the say there? Then if you'd ask me, I would start with Kiddush. But the Rambam doesn't start with Kiddush. The Rambam says, B'tchilas HaSeder Mozgin Kos. Now watch this. What is Mezigas HaKos? Is it objective or is it subjective? Listen to the Rambam. The Rambam says, Mozgin kos l'chol echad v'echad. And the Rambam says, which I'm trying to find and I'm not seeing it now, that there's a subjective element in Mezigas HaKos. Maybe that's back in Perek Zion. So let me see if I can find this. Oh. Here it is.
Equivalent of pouring, right?
It's mixing, not
mixing,
pouring.
But they would mix it in the cup. They wouldn't like mix it somewhere and then pour it.
So right.
Preparing the cup.
Perek Zion Alochetes. Arba kosos ha'elu tzarech limzog osam kidei she'tiye shtia areva hakol lefi ayayin ulefi das hashote. This is not shote with a test.
Yeah.
The Rambam means this seriously. You know, we have a minig. I don't know if you have the same minig, that somebody goes around on the Leila Seder and asks you which wine you have. Do you have that minig?
Absolutely.
And the reason is because you probably have, I don't know, five or maybe more than five choices. You know, you have red wine and you have white wine and you have grape juice and you have Moscato and sweet wine, whatever you have. So why do you go around? Again, I'm not trying to justify the minig because you might tell me that's not really a minig for Yisrael, but I think
that's Derech Harris.
Exactly, according to the Rambam, this is the key of Derech Harris, and it starts with Mezigas HaKos.
when the Rambam sets up the Seder of Asiyas Mitzvahs HaLaila, he starts with Mezigas HaKos. And Mezigas HaKos is a Chal Shem. It's a cube. It's a cube in Derech Heres, because your Mezigah is not my Mezigah. What you like, Lefi Das HaShota, is your Das HaShota. It's
and
not my Das.
The ask is also Derech Heres. That's what you're saying. Just the fact that I'm being...
Correct. Open, well, I don't know if the asking per se... You know, I might know what... You know, I might know what kind of wine you have. I don't know if I have to ask you. It's not a formal, you know, sign the dotted line. You know, fill out the... Maybe before the Seder, we should have a request list on wines. I'm not joking. Maybe it would be appropriate. But the Mezigah itself is what the Halacha defines as the kickoff. Okay, I should say kickoff, because Sunday will be the kickoff, right? But the beginning of the Seder. So I both say, if there's Halacha of a Kiyum Tefillah, which is wild, in Haggadah, Ad Kedei Kach, that there's a din of Iser Hefsek, and on top of that we're going to add a din of Kol Ram, then if that be the case, Rabosai, I understand why the poskim are telling me that Iser Hefsek starts with Mezigah. Now again, I'm not paskening halacha for you. You'd have to be a super duper brisket to implement this. But just in terms of the conceptual understanding, from the moment of Mezigah, the Rambam says you started the Haggadah. You started the Seder HaLaila. You know, it reminds me of what the poskim say about Tkiyas Demiyushav and Tkiyas Demeuvan. So the Tkiyas Demiyushav begin the Tkiyas, and then there's going to be a long, long period of time until we get to the Tkiyas Demiyushav. So the poskim write, don't be mafsik. Why? Because it's one continuous mitzvah. You don't want to be mafsik in the middle of a mitzvah. But now we're adding another element into the equation. Not only would hefsek be would sicha be a hefsek in the middle of a mitzvah, but even moreover, it might be it might undermine the kiyum tefillah. Now again, if our Salvechik was here and I'd tell him there's a kiyum tefillah in the Haggadah, I think he would throw me out of shiur for that. But think about the following: what's the first thing we say after Birkas HaMazon? So I'm fast forwarding now to the end of the Seder. Shvoch Hamos Chalagoyim. How'd you guess it? Shvoch Hamos Chalagoyim is a tefillah. Now, there's something going on here on the night of Pesach which is wild. On the one hand, we're commemorating the old Geula, the original Geula, and everything that came afterwards, the Bris and the choice of the people of Israel as Atav Achartonu Mikol Ha'amim. But on the other hand, on the very night of Geula, we're praying for the ultimate Geula. Take a look at the bracha Asher Golanu. Ken Yavienu Lugolim Lemoadim Achirim Min Apsachim Min Azvachim Min Ochal Shom Min Azvachim Psachim. Right? Shvoch Hamas Chal Goyim at the end of the Seder.
You need that. Shabbach is part of tefillah also, but it's only if there's tefillah, if there's bakasha with it.
So again, I would say the following: if it was Shevach and that would be it, I would be very happy. If you ask me,
he would call it tefillah.
I would call it the Sheva. Well, I don't know. That's a good question. I didn't go that far. But I'm saying if you would ask me what the Haggadah is and you would tell me the Haggadah is Shevach, I would say you're 1,000% correct. There's no doubt about it. Haggadah equals Shevach.
Shevach and the Amida is also part of tefillah. You're not going to say tefillah.
Okay, but then you want to tell me that the Shevach of this night has a key of tefillah on it. And not only that, you're going to add now Vayishma Hashem es Kolenu, and you're going to tell me that as a din of Hefsek tefillah, that's going a major. But what I am showing you is that there are elements or dimensions of tefillah that were integrated in the very fabric of this mitzvah. So again, I still don't understand it. I'm not telling you, you know, nachadaiti here, but there is such a thing. And now, wait, just give me 1 second, Sam, because I'm going to lose something I want to share with you. But let me just see for a minute if this is going to help me. Oh, it's going to help me. This I heard from Rav Shneur Kotler, Zichron Levracha. Rav Shneur used to say the following: that the Beis Halevi makes no sense. Beis Halevi says that we don't start any other holiday other than Pesach with tzedakah, with the mitzvah of tzedakah. The mitzvah of tzedakah is central, high profile in Leil HaPesach. And that's why we say, Kol Dichvin Yesev Yechal, we invite the guests in, the Aniyim, And that's why the Gaon says that if you don't give money for most chitin, you're not yotzi the mitzvah of matzah. Again, that's a long discussion, not for now. Says the Beis Halevi, why is it that only in this holiday there's an emphasis on tzedakah? And he quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu Anofi, Tzion b'mishpat tipode v'shaveh b'tzedakah. So Reb Shnei says, I don't understand. How could the Beis Halevi say such a thing? Tzion b'mishpat tipode v'shaveh b'tzedakah? Therefore we have to get involved in the mitzvah of tzedakah? You know, if you're a Lubavitcher, there's no tmiyah over here, because Lubavitch says, give tzedakah because you'll bring about the Mashiach. We want Mashiach now. But if you're a Brisker, like Rav Yoshe Ben Brisker, so Rav Shnei said an unbelievable story. He says, tonight is an incomplete fulfillment of the mitzvah of Sipi Yitzis Mitzvah. Because tonight, we can only thank Hashem and praise God for the original Geula. Ultimately, after the redemption, we're going to complete the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, because the mitzvah is not Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's the mitzvah Sipur HaGeula. And now we have only part of the Geula. We have the old Geula, but we don't have the complete Geula. Is Memela, the Beis Halevi says, on this night, we should do whatever we can to bring about the Geula v'shaveh v'tzedakah. Because on this night we're crying about the fact that our mitzvah is a fractional mitzvah. And we want to do whatever we can in our power to bring about the completion of the mitzvah. And why do I share this with you? Because I think that maybe if you find different elements in the Leil HaSeder that are prayer for the ultimate Geula, you should not be amazed about that. Because tonight is the night of Geula, but it's not really the night of Geula. It's the night of the old Geula. But we need a much greater and a much more phenomenal Geula. And that's why on this night, which is the night of Geula, there's a special power to pray for the ultimate Geula. So if you ask me, is there such a thing as a Kiyum Tefillah on the night of Pesach? I would tell you that my Rebbe would be very conservative about this, and he would throw you out. But if you ask me, is there a source for it? Maybe. And if there is, maybe the element of tefillah that's part of the fabric of this night is praying for the ultimate geula. Kein yagi'enu l'regolam achim. This was about 10% of what I prepared for you on the Seder Ha'aruch. Okay then? But we'll stop here for a
minute. What's a tefillah in Megillah? How do you conceptualize that?
Because when Esther goes in, it says that Kasher Avadati Avadati.
She prays. But how's the tefillah for us?
Because we have to go through prayer when we read the Megillah. There are many parts of the Megillah which, and we get involved in them.
Like you empathize?
No, not empathize, but we want to explain or demonstrate how the Geula came about, the Yeshua of Purim. And the answer is that tefillah was critical. That's why it says, in the Megillah, it says, Kedivrei Atzomos V'Zaakos. You remember that word in the Megillah? Because the 3 days of Za'aka is what brought about the Geula. It's not just Esther, because she was the Jewish queen. It's
but what it says anyway is that you